LSU fans know better than anybody, there's no place like home. Whether it's Tiger Stadium or Tiger Park, the PMAC or Alec Box. When we're at home, we win. The spread of COVID-19 will keep us from going to games for now, but we still have to work together to defeat this virus. Do your part by staying home. Whether you're sick or healthy, staying home is critical in the fight against the coronavirus. Remember, staying home saves lives.
Hey everybody, this is Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. Welcome to another edition of Tigers United, a podcast where we bring together LSU staff, coaches, and student athletes from across campus and across sports to discuss this, whatever this is, this coronavirus situation that we're all going through, this quarantine that we're all dealing with, this shutdown of so many things that are so important to all of us. We bring together people from across LSU and from different walks of life at LSU to discuss how they're adapting, how they're adjusting, and some things that maybe the rest of us can pick up from them. Today we have a slightly different episode. The first two episodes were student athlete centered. This is the first episode featuring a head coach and a coaching staff. Sat down with Fran Flory and Sarah Rumley Noble of LSU Volleyball to get an insight into what it's like during this time as a coach and a coaching staff. When you have so many plans, when you have so many responsibilities, so many players to manage, how do you do that? What are your priorities? How do you organize yourself? How do you keep everyone inspired, motivated, connected? Coach Flory and Coach Rumley Noble were perfect to talk to about this because this is something that they're dealing with right now, and they have a very, very good perspective on it. What matters right now, what doesn't matter right now, and how to move forward during uncertain times. Fran Flory just finished her 22nd year as LSU's head coach, 9 NCAA tournament berths in the past 14 seasons. Coming into this season, she was the 2009 SEC and American Volleyball Coaches Association South Region Coach of the Year, the 5th coach in program history, and has been instrumental in bringing the LSU volleyball program back into national prominence under her watch. Sarah Rumley Noble is LSU Volleyball's assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. She's also one of the best volleyball players in SEC history at the University of Kentucky. She's an SEC legend. She's a University of Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame member. She was one of the best volleyball players in conference history. Now she's had 3 years as LSU's assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. Both of them brought very, very valuable insight to the program. Enjoyed this conversation. I think it's a conversation that applies to those of us who may be in positions of leadership, to those of us who are working from home, to those of us who are, as Sarah is, recently married or adapting to life in the home, trying to get work done at home, trying to prioritize, figure out what's important. They brought a ton of valuable insight to the table, and it was just a good conversation, just a really good conversation with two people who have a really good insight into what we're all going through right now. So without further ado, I'll throw to the conversation with LSU Volleyball head coach Fran Flory and assistant coach Sarah Rumley Noble. Thank you all for your time today. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us and giving us a different insight. The first couple of conversations that I've had so far on this particular iteration of the podcast, I've been with student athletes. And so this is the first time I've sat down with two coaches, and I'm interested to get y'all's perspective. Coach Flory, I'll start with you. I think something that anyone who manages people right now in whatever profession they're in, it's an adaptation for everybody. Everyone's adjusting to this new reality that we're living in. As the head coach of a Division I SEC program, what is it like trying to manage a team remotely? You have so many players, you have coaches. Obviously, this throws a big wrench into whatever plans you had for the spring. So what are y'all doing to stay in touch, to try to keep things moving forward, keep players working out, motivated, all those things that you have to do on a daily basis, regardless of the circumstances, and now you're having to do it basically from within your own home.
Yeah, I think the first thing that, you know, we had to go through was a little bit of grieving process. You know, not to the extent that the spring sports had to with losing their seasons, and thankfully they'll get that eligibility back, and we're also thankful and happy for them that was granted. But for our kids, you know, we lost something too. We lost our spring training. We lost our preparation for the fall. We have kids that are on track to graduate, and there's just so many questions, and there's so many questions that we do not have answers to. That, you know, as a coach, you're supposed to know the answers. You're supposed to be able to help them navigate and get through things. And honestly, for the first time in my 35 years of coaching, I have no answers, and that's scary. It's scary for us as leaders. It's scary for Scott Warburg with leading a department. I mean, we all know we're in unprecedented times, and we just really don't know where to go and how to do it right. And certainly we'll make mistakes, but I decided that we're going to take a step-by-step process. And the first step was to get them home and get them safe. That's my number one responsibility, and all but one are home, which is fine. And we're thankful they're with their families. And actually two are not home, and that's okay too. They're safe, and that's the priority. The second priority, once we got that established, was academics. You know, how do we continue? How do we, you know, that's something that I preach to my team, that that's one of the controllable things in this. There's a lot of things that are not controllable, but what can we control in this situation, in this circumstance? And academics is number one. So we put together a huge academic guide for transitioning into online study. We're trying to help them remotely as much as we can. But, you know, that's the challenge. And honestly, I've left volleyball alone. You know, they need to grieve and understand that's a loss, but there are other priorities in the world right now than what our sport is. And we've chosen that pathway. We've had a couple of Zoom calls, and we kind of opened the volleyball door a little bit last night, and a few of them came running through. So we're happy about that they're excited to re-engage in that. But, you know, it's hard. It's definitely difficult to know how to, where to, what to turn to, and what decisions to make.
Sarah, I know one of your roles is recruiting coordinator with LSU Volleyball. What is recruiting like right now? I've heard Coach O talk about it in a couple of radio spots where he's actually said it's a little bit easier for him because these prospective student athletes are all sitting at home and they have nothing to do. So it's easy to reach them compared to normal times, I guess. But for you, how does it change what you do in that role?
Well, this is normally our time when we're out every single weekend on the road recruiting, and you know, that's obviously changed and put a big stop for right now. So we've kind of had to revamp a little bit of how are we going to stay in touch with these prospective student athletes and stay engaged with them within the rules of what we're allowed to do. And so I think that just trying to find ways to digitally put stuff out there for them so that they can see and remain engaged, but also kind of taking this time to really focus in on the kids that are already committed into our program, making sure that we're connecting with them, making sure they're okay, how we can help them and continue to recruit them really well as they've already decided to be Tigers, and make sure that they can integrate well when they do step on campus. And so I think that's been a huge priority, where so often you get focused in on what's the next, who's the next. And so we've been able to really dial in on that. But we're getting a lot of emails from kids, and we're getting a lot of interesting ones. Their club directors are kind of telling them, hey, send them little about me bullet points. So we're learning a lot of fun facts about kids right now, which is fun. You get to see a little different side of who the athletes are that we're recruiting beyond just who they are as volleyball players. So that's been kind of fun.
Coach Flory, what does a day look like for you right now? Is there a typical day for you that you've kind of sunk into a routine over the last 2 weeks where everything's kind of shut down?
There is now, you know, and as a parent, and I think there are a lot of parents that are going through this, you know, it was really difficult. And I told Scott and I told Stephanie and I told Miriam, I'm not very good at this, because when I, you know, I have two children that grew up in a coach's household, and I purposely separated that. When I came home, I was not going to work. I was going to spend that time, with little time I was home, with my family. And so the dynamic of the fight in my own head internally of you're not supposed to be working here, you're supposed to be paying attention to family, was a huge struggle for me for the first week. So this week I've really kind of transitioned. I get up early. You know, our dog gets a lot of walks, and I think a lot of dogs are getting a lot of walks.
Yes, they are.
We go take a walk with the dog. She gets, you know, she's standing by me right now trying to ask me to go out right now. She thinks we're supposed to pay attention to her all the time. So I do that. I get a run in or a walk, whichever, grab my breakfast. And, you know, the nice part for me is I sit outside and do a lot of my work and preparation. And I work on emails and that kind of stuff, the stuff that Sarah's talking about, learning about these new incoming prospective student athletes and who they are. You know, our budgets, they're still due. Our, you know, work is continuing. So all of the deadlines are still there. We're just meeting them from different location. And I'll grab a lunch and then probably take another walk with the dog. And then, you know, follow up with our own players in the afternoon and the evenings. You know, they're in class through the morning and part of the afternoon, tutoring sessions and study hall. So we leave them alone. So we're actually working more in the evenings than we are through the afternoons in the middle of the day, because we don't want to interrupt their academic progress.
Sarah, how about you? Have you kind of settled into a routine yet? I know that you said this is typically when you'd be traveling, and obviously you're not able to do that right now. So have you found a routine to settle into?
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing for me is I got married 3 months ago, and so that's a new routine settling into in and of itself. But no, my husband and I are both working from home, and we found a pretty good flow about our days, and we kind of go in separate bedrooms and do our thing, but we get rolling in the morning, and I usually use the first part of my day to get through all of my recruiting emails and then kind of planning out my week for recruiting and kind of which task list I need to do. That's kind of in the morning, and then I spend my time in the afternoon. I usually eat lunch out on my hammock, which has been really nice. And then the afternoon, I kind of dive into a little bit more team stuff. You know, is there a video I can be watching, or, you know, just kind of getting that thought process of where our team is headed and those bigger tasks within our program. And then my husband and I are usually working out, you know, around 5 o'clock or so. We do a on the TV workout and maybe go for a run. So trying to get that rhythm. Then we make dinner, and like Fran has been saying, we're now under the rhythm of getting in with our team a little bit in the evenings and trying to connect with them a little bit more after that. So it's been fun.
I'll ask this to both of y'all, and y'all can kind of bat it back and forth if you want. You might even be able to hear my kids in the background. My wife is being a superhero trying to wrangle them up. But one of your jobs as coaches is to, quote unquote, wrangle up your student athletes and communicate with them and be in touch with them, which is a lot easier when they're all on campus and they're all in the same place. What are the challenges that you're finding in just trying to communicate with them on a day-to-day basis, and not even the big picture stuff necessarily, the academics and the volleyball, but just this is something that my boss Robert Munson was talking about with us, the daily interactions that you get, the small conversations that actually turn into very productive moments. That's hard to generate right now. So I'll ask both of you, you know, how is that challenge with student athletes, maintaining those relationships and trying to stay in touch with them as much as possible?
Well, I think it's, you know, it just takes a little more effort. It's all there. You know, we pick up the phone, and Sarah created a call list for us for our current kids and our incoming kids. And so we have 4 or 5 or 6 kids that we call separate groups Mondays and Thursdays. So we're staying in touch. Somebody is talking to them two times a week on the phone individually, and then on top of that, we're doing Zoom calls. So, you know, I was thinking about that same issue today. Like, they see us every day right now if we're on campus, and every day is too much for them, in my opinion, right now, because there's so much adjustment. So we're trying to find that balance. We asked last night on the Zoom call if this was enough, and they were okay with it. You know, some need a little more, and so they're not to the point that they're reaching out as they would be. They just come to our office and hang out. I mean, our team is in our offices, and that's the part that I'm really missing. Sarah, you might speak to the rest of that.
Yeah, I think one of the other challenges is that face-to-face interaction a little bit, because we're in the generation where we're more comfortable picking up the phone and making a phone call, where for them, they may be more comfortable on FaceTime or texting. So finding that balance of getting them in their comfort zone and meeting as a group together. We had a great Zoom call last night, and we were all laughing. No one could hear each other because everybody was laughing at the same time. And at the end of it, everybody was saying, oh, we miss this. You know, we miss each other. And trying to find that face time with them has been really important. And that's just been one of the challenges of, you know, being away. But I think we're starting to make good strides as we all get more settled into this new normal a little bit.
I think our routine will get better for everybody. You know, this is the first week of LSU online classes. And so I think the number one thing that we can be in this situation is patient with each other, patient with ourselves, patient with the situation. And we're trying to really be patient with our kids and give them time. And so empathetic and patient, I think, are the two areas that I find most valuable that we've reached so far.
I was going to ask y'all about the academic side of it, because as you mentioned, they just go back to class this week. It's only Wednesday as we're having this conversation now. So they're probably still getting adjusted. It's only their second day back in that, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, whatever the case may be. But what have y'all heard from them in terms of the challenges of taking online classes, the things they like about it, the things they don't like about it?
Well, the first challenge they had is Moodle crashed yesterday.
Oh, so not ideal.
That is a huge challenge for everyone. You know, we were thankful they got it back up and rolling. But, you know, I think Sarah's hit the nail on the head. The personal interaction is important. You know, we have kids that were already in online classes that learning is just so different. So I think that the ability for them to understand how to do that is, it's a challenge. It's a challenge beyond the subject matter. So Sarah, you might have something to add as well.
Yeah, I think every kid's also a little different. Some of them are really enjoying the classes. I know they have some classes where their professor logs onto Zoom and they teach the lecture live. Some people are really enjoying that, and others are like, that is not my cup of tea. And they're enjoying the pre-recorded lectures where they can pause and take notes and go back and rewatch it if they need. So I think just everyone on our team has a different learning style. And so it's just adapting to what this new normal is. But they've been great. Our academic advisors have been amazing at putting together a really, really detailed academic plan and a new schedule for them to give them some sort of normalcy. They're having some online tutors, which they're obviously getting into for the first time this week, but I haven't heard really any complaints from them except the Moodle crashing. So it seems like things are going pretty smoothly.
From a volleyball perspective, whenever you do feel that it is time to start giving them drills or start giving them workouts, I know the strength and conditioning staff at LSU worked really hard to get all the student athletes workouts, and y'all may be able to touch on that as well. But when it is that time, have you started thinking about the best way to introduce it, the best timing, the best way to communicate it? How limited are they in what they can do? I know different sports, you know, basketball, if you got a ball and a hoop, you're pretty much okay. Volleyball, you may need a few more people. How have you kind of started to think ahead to that, if you have?
Well, the first step is that video analysis and self-analysis through our video platform is probably the easiest way for us to affect them. You know, movement patterns are important, and you know, I'm a big believer in things happening for reasons, and I don't really know why we end up at the place we do, but I think there's some supreme guidance going on a little bit. But this spring we had kind of started teaching them how to teach themselves and taking them through some task list and some drills that they could do by themselves in our sport. And amazingly, we started that about 2 weeks before we hit this deal. So they're prepared in that way. When they're ready, they can go out in their driveway and do the movement patterns and the posture and all that stuff. Surprisingly, Sarah's reached out today. Everybody doesn't have a volleyball at home with our team, which is just amazing to me. So we're trying to fix that for all of them. And you're right, we can't go out and shoot hoops and dribble and do that stuff, but we can touch the volleyball and get some skill progression and just maintain our comfort level. So Sarah, you may have some stuff to add as well.
Yeah, and in our Zoom call last night, Fran just kind of told them, hey, we're not trying to force this on anybody. We want you to be ready when you're ready to step into it, and reach out to us when you're ready to start integrating back in, and we're on board. We're going to give you what you need to be successful as we move forward. So kind of putting ownership on our players a little bit of, hey, I'm ready to get on maybe some Zoom calls and analyze some video together and watch the one spring tournament that we did get to thankfully have. And, you know, thankfully we have technology like this where we can play a video and screen share and be on a video chat like this. We're excited to kind of dive into some of those things and even last night after the call, we were already hearing from some people of like, I'm ready. Tell me when, and I'm there. So I think our team is starting to get to that point of like, all right, I need volleyball back in this mix of this new normal.
One of the things that your program's always been good at, and certainly I've noticed over the last couple of days in particular, is the community outreach aspect of it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but y'all have always had a connection with the nursing home community. That's something that you've always made an effort to do.
Well, our kids are active in every portion of the community. I mean, they want to give back community service. You know, I preach that it's a responsibility. It's not just something you do. You need to be responsible. You know, Baton Rouge is home to me. I know an awful lot of people here, and I know the importance of LSU athletes to the people here. So our kids like to give back. They like to be part, and they find their way. Some of them want to help with animals. Some of them want to help with older people. Some of them want to help in churches, some with younger kids, you know, all different areas. So, you know, the biggest thing that we're doing right now is, and I'll let Sarah finish it, but we are reaching out to the doctors and to nursing homes and hospitals, and we're sending note cards out just saying thanks. And each of our kids will send a group out, and then that we've pre-labeled, and then, you know, we're going to allow them to send some personalized stuff, because I have family in Ohio in nursing homes that, you know, it's scary. It's scary for any of us to have anybody in a nursing home or a retirement center. You know, you see all the pictures and you see all that on social media and how scared they are and how they just don't understand. You know, they're not out. They don't understand. And so anything we can do to help quiet the storm for a population that just is, this is beyond them. They've lived through so much, yet there's so much more ahead of them. So Sarah, when did you finish that up?
Yeah, so we created a postcard design that it's all of our girls on it, and they're kind of holding up a word to kind of share a message. And we had them all do that from their own individual homes, and kind of you see their own personality in it. And those are being ordered. They're not here yet. We're hoping they're going to arrive early next week, and then we're going to send those packages out to our team and let them write notes and send them where they want, and hopefully get them all over to hospitals and nursing homes. And even if there's people in their lives that they know are needing a little bit of love and support, that can go off to those people since everybody's kind of quarantined in their homes. So just trying to spread a little bit of positivity and a little bit of LSU volleyball love across the country a little bit. So our team was really excited about it, and I'm excited to kind of see where it all trickles to.
I think one of the things that we're all looking for is bright spots, or trying to make the best of the situation that we're all in collectively. And one thing that I think we all do have more of is time. It may be divided up differently, but we have time to maybe do personal development or pay attention to some things that we would have put aside if we were in normal circumstances. So, for example, like me, you can maybe see it in the background. There's my guitar right there. I've been playing more guitar, and I've been trying to that's something that I did in high school and just stopped doing for forever because, you know, you start working and you put things away, and trying to read more or whatever the case may be. For both of y'all, is there anything that y'all have kind of looked at? I know Scott Woodward sent out links to all these personal development things. He's been great about that over the last week or so, sending out links where, you know, as professionals, we can go in and learn from some of the best. Are there any things that y'all have focused on in your life that you're like, okay, I've got a little bit of time here that is divided up differently than it would be, and paying attention to that?
I definitely, and I've heard it from our kids, family time is number one, right? The number of family dinners that we have been seated together and just visiting, and I've heard from our upperclassmen, our underclassmen, that, you know, it's really nice to sit down with my family and have a family meal, and the discussion and all of that is super, super comforting in this situation. So I think that's a bright spot. I think that's an understanding that everybody, hey, we need more of this. That, you know, maybe that's something we lost and we're going to find through this. So I think that's a bright spot. For me personally, you know, every single coach across America complains about their team's mentality. You know, I can't get their mentality, but none of us are willing to give gym time to get that. Very few, very few. And we had started doing that this spring through our individual training, and then of course our team training got cut short. But this is a time for us as a team to start working on mentality, motivation, and kind of what makes each of those kids go. So I think you know, we can find a silver lining in that for sure. That is our silver lining as a team, is our mentality is what we're going to work on right now when we can't, you know, play volleyball together. And personally, you know, I love to read. I love motivational stuff. I write all the time. And, you know, the challenges of everything that I've gone through, I'm not quite there yet, but Sarah keeps telling me, Fran, you got to write your book. And I'm getting close. I'm getting close. So Sarah's got a whole nother list of things for her.
I was glad that you brought that up, because if you didn't bring it up, I was going to bring it up for you, Fran. But yeah, I've enjoyed getting to, you know, cook dinner every night and try new recipes and, you know, kind of work through the things we already have in our cabinet that have been there and what can we make with this tonight? And then also, I normally spend this time recruiting. I read a lot when we're flying, and I don't typically read as much when I'm at home. But I promised one of our players, Milan Stokes, she wrote a book, a novel, and I promised her I would finish it, and I haven't gotten around to finishing it, and she told me, okay, perfect, because I actually want you to read my new book instead. And so I started that, and have kind of been sharing, you know, kind of been working to finish that so that I can get back with her and give her some feedback, because, you know, she's really excited about this book, and she's even reached out to some people about hopefully getting it published one day. So she's like, I really want feedback. And she's private about who she shares that stuff with. So I was honored that she gave me the link, and I need to follow through on my word and finish that book. So Milan, I'm going to get it done. And it's great so far. It's pulling me in so far.
That's an unbelievable opportunity to have, to be able to read a book that a player wrote. I mean, that's incredible. I've talked to Milan before for a story last year, and her story is incredible. Didn't she have a situation where she basically lost everything that she had written? Like, she had a notebook that she had written and it got stolen. That's an unbelievable story.
Yeah. And I think that the cool thing for her is how resilient she is in that, and her passion for writing. She's going to continue to write, and she's going to have all these ideas. The crazy thing for me is, as I'm reading her book, I forget that she's writing. Like, she's so talented that her words, I just get so engrossed in it. And I finish a chapter and I get to the point, I'm like, wow, Milan wrote that. You just, it's like a good author draws you in. And that's for sure happening. I have to remind myself, this is Milan. Like, this is her writing. Because it's that good. So it's been really cool.
That is really cool. So I'm going to end this the way that I've ended all of them. I'm going to put you both on the spot. Whoever can think of the first question can ask it, but you have to ask each other at least one question. I want y'all to ask each other a question. Whoever thinks of it first can fire away.
Fran, when are you going to cook crawfish next?
Whoo! Well, that's a good question. Probably not till the team gets back together. I can't boil without having them there. They would be too mad at me. I'm a crawfish boiler, Cody, and my team, you know, they come, they won't touch them. Second year, you peel them for them. Third year, they're eating them themselves. And the fourth year, they're begging. So that's the process of LSU volleyball and their love for crawfish. All right, do I get to ask Sarah one now?
Yeah, let me interrupt you for 1 second. So the other day, speaking of crawfish, my father-in-law, this was a couple weeks ago. This was before the social distancing really kicked in, but he was pretty safe about it. He basically dropped off an ice chest full of crawfish on our back porch and left it there for us. And so I had to peel it by myself on the back porch. It was the saddest thing I've ever done. I've never peeled crawfish by myself. There's always someone around. So that was a real wake up moment for me that things had changed a little bit. So hopefully the next time I'm peeling them, I'm around some people.
Well, next time you'll have to come over to our crawfish boil and you can judge my crawfish boil.
Absolutely. Invitation accepted.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. All right, I'm going to ask Sarah a question. What's the biggest adjustment to married life?
Yeah, I think that it's just being, like, coming home and being in each other's space. It's honestly a really big blessing, because when we were dating, we lived about 20 minutes apart. And so you get to come home and you don't have to spend that downtime of driving back and forth. So it's more time together, which I'm really enjoying. Everybody asks me, how is it being married and being quarantined? I'm like, I'm a fan of it. I would recommend it. 10 out of 10 recommend marriage. So we've had a really smooth transition, and we're thankful for this time and just trying to see all the bright spots and all this downtime, as everybody is trying to find the positives in this of, you know, we get time to lay a foundation for our marriage that wouldn't normally get to be there when you're recruiting every single weekend. So we're thankful that we have it, and but we're also itching to get back out on the road and back to normal too.
Yeah, I remember as football season came to an end and I'd been traveling for every road game and Heisman Trophy and College Football Awards and all this stuff. And I got home and my wife was like, I just wish we had some time together with you and you could spend time with the kids and all that stuff. And here we are. And I think last week was, you know, the first week, it's an adjustment. You're trying to figure out their schedules. They're not going to daycare. And so it was a little more frustrating. And I think by Monday of this week, I kind of realized we've gotten into a routine and this opportunity to just spend time with my kids. I mean, I'm getting 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day that I wouldn't be getting with them. And this is not an ideal circumstance. And there's obviously some challenges to overcome as a society, and there's concerns and health concerns and all that in mind. Like I said, looking for the bright spots, it is nice to, you know, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old, they're only 4 and 2 once. So to get a little extra time with them has been pretty cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, so many people get caught up in the stress of this and we get glued to the TV and we're all in the negative. And I think we just can turn that stuff off and say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy the moment for what it is, because I'm never going to get this moment back again. I'm never going to get this time back again. And let's make the most of it and not be stressed. And, you know, I have to say I'm thankful my kids are not in school and I don't have to help them and actually have classroom training here teaching, although I would have found a way, right? As a parent, you find a way. But there's a lot to be thankful for, and certainly a lot of challenges and a lot of things yet to happen. But, you know, I just think, you know, we're Tigers, we're family, we take care of each other, and Louisiana people are tough and resilient, and we will get through, we'll be fine.
That's a great way to end it, Coach. Sarah, thank y'all both for your time so much. It was great catching up with you. It was great spending a few minutes with you, getting some wisdom from you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Cody. Have a great, great, great day and stay safe.
Thanks, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Looking forward to that crawfish.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank y'all so much.